When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Right. It's pretty nice. It's not every day that you see Van Gogh on a lighter. Well, welcome you. Porch Talk. Welcome, Farouk. Dude, how you doing?
Hello, buddy. I'm doing all right. Holding up right here.
Holding up. Since the last time you've been on, man, what you been cooking, man? What's good?
A lot of work. Industry work, basically. I got into working as a research intern in a partnership type of thing between GQI and Microsoft. And that's going all right for more than 2 months now. I'm really hopeful that probably right after graduation I'll be securing a pretty fucking good job.
That's what I like to hear, man.
Yeah.
So just the listeners, speak on it as much as you want, but Farouk is, he's in quantum computation, and as it goes, a little bit of the AI, right, involved right. with it. Right. That thing that scares the ever-living crap out of everybody.
True. As probably anything new or emergent, let's say, even the term artificial intelligence was coined as a, it was a misname. Or the real thing, because there is nothing artificial about it. What's really going on is you're having a machine that you design that is trying somehow to mimic how your brain works. Mm. There is nothing artificial about that. So that's probably the name artificial intelligence might just create these fears within the people who get introduced to it for the first time. But for sure, the capabilities are wondrous.
It's been an interesting thing to discuss within the creative field. I mean, I think it's funny, some of the memes that I see online about AI is, you remember the Jetsons cartoon? Mm-hmm. Very futuristic, where they had a robot serving them and walk up to the microwave or whatever device, and they punch in, they wanted a cheeseburger, and it would just pop out. I think that's what they had in mind. And so the creative field is finding that it's not perfect, but it's getting better when it comes to the art. It can create a song. It can create art. It can write poetry. I use it for this podcast.
I use it on a daily basis for my work.
Mm-hmm. If you ever find yourself reading the Porch Talk transcripts, I have AI. I had it go back on 600 plus episodes,
yes,
and it did the entire transcripts. And that way, I was curious about that. Like, obviously, Porch Talk for the most part is a listening experience.
Yeah.
But if you were deaf and you wanted to read it, you can.
Yeah.
And I think that helps.
And a matter of fact, you can also visualize it. You can tell an AI program that somehow creates an anime of two people sitting in a room, a very nice place.
I ain't even got that far yet. That's a good idea.
Well, yeah, you can actually make that. You can post it as a video on YouTube as well without you physically being there. There will be characters.
I want it to make me, I have a six pack.
Hell yeah.
And we're going to give Farouk his long hair again. He's going to be a rock star.
Probably. Yeah. Rock, but not from Nashville.
No, not from Nashville.
Not from Nashville.
I just hear that you're tired of Nashville.
Yeah, not really. They're just, everyone from Nashville will definitely let you know that they are from Nashville.
Yeah. They do that. The same thing with Austin.
Yeah.
If you ever have anybody from Austin, Texas, that's one of the... It almost becomes a part of their personality.
Dude, yeah. I mean, I had my roommate, Devin. Yeah, probably every conversation is like, because I'm from Texas, something.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that really helps relates. The conversation, but, right. I appreciate it. I get it.
Right.
Look, this guy's from Texas, everybody. That's how we should start, dude. So, I'm from Alabama, and you're from Egypt. So
yeah, building pyramids is a family business.
So, Google CQI, CGI?
GQI, Global Quantum Intelligence.
Yeah.
Yes. So, this company... is trying to serve the high-tech customers. They're trying to do them a big favor in terms of all companies want to sell you stuff. And so when you get these stuff and filter it out, you have a better point of view, you have a better understanding of what their capabilities are, what their machines can do. They have quantum computers, the early stage of quantum computers. It's like the baby stage right now. We even call it noisy intermediate scale because it is still noisy as shit. Even though IBM want to sell you their machines, IonQ, another big company, want to sell you their machines, Xanadu in Canada, and all other companies. And these machines are fundamentally different. Even though they can do properly the same tasks, some of them are better in certain tasks. But again, the main thing when it comes to business is they want to sell you their products. The GQI is telling the customer realistically what this product can do for you. What are your best options in terms of computation time and also money? Because this technology is fucking expensive, man. I mean, you can... I believe I've mentioned this before. IBM charges you $1.6 per second.
Jeez. And those seconds add up quick.
Well, if you want to do an hour of computation, that's probably a few grand.
Yes. So $1.16 a second?
Per second. Actually, IonQ charges you more.
So let's run that just for a second.
Yeah.
Let's take the... We'll take the 16 cents out.
Okay.
Just to make easy math.
Yeah.
Just so $1. 1 minute is $60.
Yes.
And then 60 times 60.
Yeah.
That's 3,600.
Right.
Yeah. Gets expensive real quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, these are, and I've seen some of the tasks and like some of the programs and things that you've been telling her to run. It's crazy to me that like, you're able to do that from a laptop because I couldn't imagine the amount of heat and stress is on the machine while it's doing it.
So, here is the interesting thing about it. You're not doing the computations on your laptop because it cannot do it anyway. As a matter of fact, there are some computations out there, even your best supercomputer cannot do it. So, what you do is you set up your computations on your laptop, which is... okay, even if it's lengthy computation, but you send everything for the machine to do the job for you, and it will just send you back the results. Because you can even, you can have what's called the local simulator, which is basically a local thing, a local library that can be set up on your laptop. But again, if that computation is big, you will just take up the entire memory of your laptop and it will not even be able to compute. So, yeah.
So what you're doing is it's doing it remotely.
Like, right.
You're given the task, a huge computer, I'm assuming, on campus. And, like, what if your math or your physics or whatever you're asking for it to quantum compute? Mm-hmm. What if your equations are incorrect? Will it crash it, or will it just not work? How does that work?
So it will. This is the thing about programming. You can build an entirely looking good program. Okay, you write it in any language, programming language you want, and actually, a matter of fact, you can also write wrong equations. It would still give you results. It would just be wrong answers.
Okay.
It would still run. The only way it would crash if you would tell the machine something that it's actually incapable of doing. Okay. For example, quantum computer cannot reset. Right. It deals with atoms. You think of an atom as a qubit. Right. And the polarization of it. A polarization basically means
neutrons and protons.
Yeah, the direction at which that negative charge is pointing. Okay? And so the thing about it is you cannot reset that. It's pointing in a certain direction, and you take that as your start point. Now, you can pass a command to the quantum computer that, all right, I want to reset this qubit to be in this direction. You cannot do that. You have a starting point and you start from there. And there are other examples as well in terms of passing commands that cannot be done. Let me explain this further.
Yeah, please
because,
do.
What you're writing on your laptop is what's called a high-level program, a high-level computing program. Because you're writing in terms of Python or C++, all these, or Java, all these very famous programming languages. But what the quantum computer understands actually is a very low-level programming. It understands a laser pulse. When you apply a laser pulse on your system to give it a little bit more energy to make it do a certain thing you want it, or maybe you want to do a frame change, in which a frame change means that you're looking at the same thing but from a different point. Okay? And that's entirely actually possible. So these are the commands that a quantum computer can actually understand. So there is an intermediate scale, an intermediate step, that takes you from your high-level programming to that low level that the quantum computer can understand, and that's called compilation. Okay? This is a third party that basically takes your program and simplifies it even further, so that the quantum computer can understand.
Yeah. Not to talk too much about the work that you're doing with Google and CQI, but I wanted to ask, maybe with the work, the research you've been doing on campus, does that work? Like, you're working with AI and quantum computation. Is that research furthering, like, You're working physics for your research? Is that what it's working on?
Right. So for the university work, for my PhD research, what we're trying to do, because again, nobody has really done the type of hard physics problems on a quantum computer, okay? There are problems out there, especially in nuclear physics, that includes many particle physics. You probably heard of the three-body problem. By many here, I mean three. You can have four bodies, you can have four particles, five, maybe as many as you want. These computations cannot be done on a classical computer, right? The only way we can actually do them is maybe try to approximate the solutions in our classical ways. Now, what we're trying to do here at the university is take these the problems and write them in a way that the quantum computer understands and therefore can solve. and it just does the work for you. But the thing about it is, it's basically, you have a problem, but you have to understand that problem really well, because you are gonna reframe it in an entirely different way, such that the quantum computer understands it. So what I'm really doing is trying to solve nuclear physics problems in general, not only for building, you know, nuclear reactors or whatever, but for the entire field. Because again, no one has done this before. So we're kind of learning and at the same time having results that seem advantageous, that seem, you know, appealing to use.
Yeah.
In the future.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine, like, you're on the cutting room floor of a brand new technology, and so everything that you do, there's no right or wrong. There is a right or wrong, but you have to. It's like working out a scientific theory to where I got to go through this hypothesis,
right.
And you may carry it on several steps throughout the scientific theory.
Yeah, until and discover the dead end.
That,
right,
yeah.
But that's also that. This is also a win, because at least you know that this is a dead end.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine, dude. Like, the work that you're doing now is gonna have a huge impact on humanity, man.
I hope so, man. I do think that the university work, the nuclear physics related quantum computation type of thing I've been talking about, will be very, very beneficial to the physicists who are working in this field, either experimental or theoretical. But what we're actually looking for in terms of a bigger scale is to have it as a utility. We want to have a laptop that's, you know, running on quantum processors, right? That's not accessible yet. I mean, we want to solve the climate problem. We want to solve the traffic problem. We want to solve a lot of things in economics, right? These problems, we just cannot, even with all the technology that we have now, we just cannot seem to have, like, any accessible results, near future results for these problems. Quantum computers seems very promising when it comes to this.
Okay.
So that's the way we should think about it, as like a utility that should be globalized. But for now, it's a monopoly.
Yeah.
It's only owned by certain companies. I can just count around 20-ish companies, maybe 23, 25 companies all over the U.S., probably at max around 50-ish companies all over the world that actually have quantum computers at their disposal.
You know, that's interesting, like climate, traffic, or even the economy.
Yeah.
That would completely reframe and rework the way that we
right.
approach life.
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, let's just take economy, or even the way that we look at work,
mm-hmm.
or the value of it. I mean, for so long, dude, the human experience, whether you come from a religious background or however you came up and you grew up, most people are familiar. I mean, what is some of the first questions that we ask one another when we're getting to know each other is we ask what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we begin to associate a value to that. We've done this for long as I've been alive. I know we've been doing it way longer than that.
Yeah.
But when you have technology like this, I mean, this technology could begin to completely reevaluate the way that the human species
right.
conducts itself on this
right.
earth.
Right. We'll have to figure something else to do.
Yeah.
You know, because now we have... Well, assuming in the future that we have these capabilities that we're dreaming about right now, well, a lot of our problems will be solved, but I'm pretty sure there will be also other problems that will be created.
Sure.
I can tell you right now, for example, that, and we all know it's no secret anymore, that AI is being used in wars. In
yes.
Russia and Ukraine, in Israel and Gaza, everywhere, okay? And we see it live on our phones, okay?
See many videos of drones
right,
doing
right.
horrific acts.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And so this is getting problematic. this is a problem that we don't know any solution for by far. A matter of fact, we tend to believe that you either invest in gold or maybe crypto to somehow try to save your wallet, right? Try to save your economic status if you're trying to invest in something, because the inflation is fucking everything up.
Oh, big time.
Okay, big time. But if you have a good enough quantum computer, we can crack this shit open. I can steal as much cryptos as... It depends on the capabilities of my quantum computer, assuming I have it, okay? But yeah, it could be cracked.
Oh man, that's interesting.
And so all the securities that, let's call them now, the classical ways or methods of thinking about how to secure your financials in banks and investments, that will have to be entirely replaced to coop up.
Yeah. And I mean, I think about like countries like El Salvador who have officially made Bitcoin their economy.
Yeah, it helped them a lot.
But with something like this, you could completely tank them.
Right, right.
I mean, yeah, I think about when it comes to a value or an economy, I see what you mean now. Mm-hmm. Like the entire framing of it is... You could go back to some kind of archaic thing where you have to physically have something.
Right, and this is a good reason, and that's probably why the government, especially the military, is very interested in this technology. I mean, in the conference I attended back in December in Silicon Valley, California, I mean, there was a huge section for just the Air Force labs. I mean, let alone the DOD, okay? The DOD is basically the biggest department. I wouldn't say in the USA, it's on Earth.
Yeah.
The entire budget of DOD is actually unquantifiable. We don't know how much money this department has, but they are very interested in pursuing this technology and like having a good grasp of it. Because if they don't, it's going to be a big problem for the concept of a centralized government.
Yeah.
You have to have that. And that's why they are trying to coop up, not only here in the USA, you have it in Canada, you have it all over Europe.
Is this a big part of, like, when we hear, like, the big plans, such as, like, the 2030 agenda or the 2040, as they continue to back it up? I'm beginning to believe, like, quantum computation and AI is the main thing as it gets ready and as they realize what it can do. That's going to be the thing that kind of ushers in a centralized government over the world.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it could entirely replace the entire thing. As a matter of fact, the notion of centralized government will no longer exist. You will have... Because you can't call it centralized anymore if it's not really centralized and owned by a group of people. Okay?
Yeah.
So if it's distributed and owned by majority of people, or at least, let's say, more people have access to it, you cannot call it centralized anymore. Right?
Right.
And let's not go to the far end of the argument where we would assume that, all right, however, how many people would be able to access this, they might get the idea that we should get together and create our own thing. This is a very extreme way of thinking about it as well. Okay? Because right now, as a matter of fact, there are people, active researchers in the field, and I mean famous ones, are calling for some type of FDA-like organization, FDA, an organization that's like FDA, but for algorithms, that would just tell you that if this algorithm is racist, or if this algorithm can actually steal your money, right, or not. Because, I mean, now you have automated everything in a way that's way faster and way promising than the classical ways that we have our laptops and classical computers. Now you have to also have borders for that, right? You have to regulate that.
I didn't even think about that, because whoever is holding the keys or whoever is behind the research of, in a sense, the quantum computation, the way that it behaves with AI, it could take on the personality and the traits of the creator. So let's say that he was racist toward a specific group, and he could totally, like, lock that group out to where, no, you don't get the accesses.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally. It could be socio-economical.
Right.
It could be anything.
But I mean, we have them right now. We have them right now. Even ChatGPT is kind of biased when it comes to certain political issues or social issues. Especially
absolutely.
When social engineering kicks in. Oof, you can see the bias right there.
Yeah, okay. Very true.
So, and everyone knows it. Yet, again, because right now what we're living in is the era of centralized governments, we cannot really do anything about it, even though we are the main force behind it, right? As researchers and as people thinking about this, they are the main creators about it. But again, they don't have much say in regulating it.
That's wild.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, and I know just within the group, you have accelerationists who want to bring it on board as quickly as possible, but then you also have the people on the other side of the track. I don't remember the name of this group, but they want to keep the brakes. They want to continue with progress, but they want to have checks and balances as they go, and the other people are more like, let's just go. Let's just see
right.
where it goes.
Right.
And I've thought about it a lot, and I understand both sides of the issues, but a part of me does want to see where it goes. But
same.
But I also feel like we don't want to unleash too much.
Right. But let me tell you one thing. I'll first lay out an example, then tell you my point. The example is we talked about economics. Let's talk about the climate problem. So, I'm sure you've heard of the carbon fixation solution.
Yes.
Where we try to reduce CO2 by trying to perform some chemical reactions that somehow would suck out the CO2.
Graphene.
Right. And so, you would need computers to do these computations for you.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
I want to say the professor leading that up is out of Rice University in Texas.
Yeah. I want to say, I mean, because the computations are not solvable by any means that we have right now. We know that the idea exists. We know that it's possible, but we don't know how to solve it, how to make a realistic thing, a realistic solution out of it. Because till now, we know that the solution exists, but it's not applied yet, and this is the reason why. Now, let's take this problem, because I worked on this with the company. You can take the entire quantum, the entire chemical interaction, and write it in a way that the quantum computer would understand it.
Okay.
Our best current quantum computers, would take somewhere between 200 up to 450 years This is almost half a millennia.
It's not going to help us. Yeah.
It's not going to help us at any time soon, right now, in solving this problem. So it tells you two things. It tells you how far away from having a real world application from the current quantum computers that we have. And it also tells you how dangerous this could be or could get if we make this huge leap. I mean, applying this on any other problem, it would just be unimaginable.
Yeah. I don't know. I think over the years, a lot of people have become more climate conscious when it comes to just the way that they behave.
And they should be. I mean, the Earth's temperature is raising up. This is a real problem. If you look back in history, there were moments of time that humanity, not only humanity, the entire living creatures on Earth were very close to extinct, wiped out, okay? Just barely surviving. You know why? Because of fucking climate change. Whether it happened naturally by the identification that we say Ice Age or maybe the Bronze Age or whatever, right?
Sure.
Or happened forcibly when a comet hit planet Earth 5 million years ago and made dinosaurs extinct, right? So that the main problem was basically that the Earth's temperature was just raising up in a drastic way, uncontrollable way, right? So we're heading towards the dead end. No one can deny that. And the main contributor to it is the oil companies right now. This actually grabs the attention to another point, which is the point of faking science, right? If you look at, there are research papers out there that talk about that, you know, the climate problem is a myth. The greenhouse effect, it's just scientists talking. You know, we're normal people living here. We're not feeling this, right? If you look at who's actually funding the researchers who wrote these papers and produced this research, it would be oil companies. So it's the exact same stories that happened in the 50s when the tobacco companies hired scientists to tell the people that smoking is good. You should buy our tobacco.
You always, like, whenever you're looking at big issues, whether it go back to big tobacco or what we have today, one thing that we should always do is go follow the dollar. If you find out who's funding it, that should tell you everything that you need to know.
Right. Exactly right. Yes.
Yeah. I'm curious, man, because I like when it comes to the climate, I read about both sides. I do, and obviously the people who are kind of naysayers of, they have a lot to gain from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you took that to its end, if you gained the whole world, and there's nobody here to. What's it matter if you make billions upon billions? You're not going to have anything to spend it on.
It won't matter anymore. Would it? No. But I don't think anyone can have the entire world. So I think the argument itself, the premise itself is flawed.
Sure.
But assuming it's true, it's a dead end. We're all doomed. That's it. Yeah. I mean, it's no less dangerous than having a world government, let's say.
Sure.
Right? What the hell is it? I mean, what's the concept of a culture right now? So you can draw the same analogy everywhere in life.
Sure.
Not only in technology. And I think the only way to change it is to get more people being aware.
Well, I think things such as ChatGPT and other AI technologies, you see it on X, you have Grok, or even, and it made a lot of people uncomfortable with such as Facebook. The older generation tends to be more on Facebook, and when Facebook started rolling out their AI, I mean, everybody was in an uproar. Like, how do I get my search bar back? I don't want this AI. And all they're trying to do is introduce it to you. They want you to get comfortable, see what it can do. It can be helpful.
Yeah.
But, like, we kind of turn, as we always do, I don't want change. I don't want this. But it's going to come to that point to where the world will leave you behind.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Anything else to add on that? I wanted to talk to you about music for a little bit. What you been listening to, man? What you been into?
Well, over the past few weeks, just probably very, let's say, poignant music that has deep meanings. I would say, all across the spectrum, we can go to post rock. We can pick up some songs from Pink Floyd and how philosophical they get, or maybe some heavy metal. You know, actually death metal as well. You know, Slipknot.
Oh, I do know.
So their lightest song is called Snuff.
Yes.
And it's also their heaviest. Okay.
Emotionally.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And so, I think this is what I have been letting myself diving into. I just want to journal these emotions.
Sure.
Yeah, and I also want to give big credits to your song, Black Sheep.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, man.
That I wrote that.
And you should put more music out there.
I'm going to. You know, the only thing that that I don't like about the version you've been looking, I don't like the production on it. But you know me, man. We've been friends for, 3 years now? But I'm lo-fi. Like, I like everything kind of gritty and nasty.
Yeah.
That was an incredibly produced. That is opposite to the style that I enjoy. And I'll go, like, after you had, like, told me, I've been digging this. I really appreciate that this is out here, that I can sit with it. I went back and listened to it, and it was kind of a cringy moment. I was like, I remember sitting in the studio and hearing the final product and not being happy about it, but because I was 18 and the guy that I was recording with, when it came to music, he had so much more knowledge, and like, he knew his way around music to where I didn't want to come off as some 18-year-old punk to where, like, I don't like that. That is not representative of me and what I'm trying to accomplish. But, mm-hmm. You know, as we get older, I mean, we kind of figure it out. I want to sit down and play that song again and do a new version of it.
That would be interesting.
Wouldn't change the words, but
yeah.
Even to the way that, because I'd have to learn it again. And it's been 15 years, and so I'm sure the entire approach, because, like, my style,
yeah,
when it comes to playing the guitar, has progressed so much, dude. Like, when I wrote and played that song, I had only been playing music for 3 years.
Yeah.
And now I've got 18 years under my belt.
I'm excited for this.
But, yeah, dude, I really do appreciate the encouragement on that, man, because you never know. And I took it off the internet. But I had written a song called Away I Go.
Yeah.
And it was a song about a guy that I had went to high school with. And he was writing his midnight cries on social media. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't seen him in probably over 10 years.
Yeah.
And when we were in high school, I wouldn't consider us to be friends, but we were aware of each other.
Yeah.
And, like, I could tell that I felt like he was on the verge of ending in his own life.
Wow.
And I reached out to him. I sent him a DM. I was like, brother, I don't know what you're going through, but let me tell you this, because I've lived on this earth as long as you are. We both graduated together, and our lives took us to different places. Yours kept you from West Alabama, where we're from, and my life led me down to the coast. Mm. And now I'm back in the area again. But if you ever need anything, don't hesitate to call. Don't feel like there's no one out there that nobody cares.
Yeah.
And we corresponded over a couple of months, and one of the last messages that he sent me was he was having a lot of relationship problems, and his wife eventually left and took the kids, and like that sent him down another spiral. And that song, I wrote it after I received the news that he had decided to drive his vehicle, and God only knows how many times he had driven down this road and picked out the tree that he would drive his vehicle head on into to end his own life. And that's how the song ends. The song begins at a hangover. Mm-hmm. He's waking up from what he did the night before. He had had too much.
Yeah.
And he was telling himself in verse 2 that he wasn't going to do it again, that he was going to clean up his act.
Yeah.
But when the sun set, all the neon lights at the bars, he found himself back at the bar.
His mind, he just got trapped in his mind.
Yes.
He couldn't escape it.
And then the final verse is he had been driving down the road and he had found the tree, and that's away he goes. He's gone. Yeah. And when I shared that song, I had a lot of people reach out to me with the same thing that I had been reaching out to him. It's like, yeah, brother, I don't know what you're going through, but that song is intense. And I was like, it is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I was getting so many messages about it, I took it down. I was like, holy crap. I did, like, you know, it's like, I am not suicidal. Like, this is a song about a suicide. Obviously, I am still here. But with your comments about, like, Black Sheep and, like, relating to it, like,
yeah,
I want to re-record it and share Away I Go Again, just in case, like, there is somebody out there that might stumble along it and be like, do not let this be your story.
Yes.
Because, like, yes, whatever problems or issues that you're having, those are temporary. And committing suicide, unaliving yourself, however you want to phrase it, that is a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
The thing about what you're saying is some people find themselves in this endless loop.
Yes.
And they can't fucking break free. So their only way out is to just
end it.
End it. Their only way out, because think about it, pain is an essential, irrevocable component of the lived experience. The only way not to feel pain is not to be alive.
Yeah.
So some people really get trapped by their subconscious, but by their all, by the memories, the thoughts that they have, that just the thoughts just flood them. They just can't control it. They think that the only way out is to make themselves not feel anything. And so you can't really get around that, because, excuse me, there are many reasons for this. I mean, the awareness about the mental health issues and mental health awareness in general has not been something that everyone knows about, okay? It's just something that probably this current generation over the past 30, maybe 50 years, I've been learning about, been trying to develop, I've been trying to understand, because guess what? We humans all over the world have evolved into a very individualistic way.
Yeah.
We have individualism right now that it frames everything around you. And so, yeah, you have this girl, she loves you, you have a good job, it seems like you're sailing, you know? It seems like everything's fine, and she leaves. Everything just seems very cheap to you. Everything you have invested in just is fucking worthless right now.
Sure.
That cannot be swallowed easily. Okay.
Take it away.
And so, the entire awareness about the mental health is let's think about it as something emergent.
Sure.
Okay? people really tend to forget that they have other people in their lives. Okay? They have people that they care about them. But again, this it's really hugely impacted by the socio-economics about us, the entire structure of the society that's been evolving over the past 50 years, and how polarized the world have gotten.
Sure.
You know? I think depression is like the second main cause of death right after cancer, I guess. And probably by 2030 it will be the first main cause. This tells you that away from our technology, away from our achievements as humanity, we're fucked. We need help. You know? And I'm calling on every man out there, and it's not be that might seem sexist, every person out there, okay, to really be aware of it. Because if you're planning to have a family, have kids, well, you have to solve your fucking problems first. Because almost definitely you'll just pass them on. Okay? So there are all these books out there you can read about all the childhood complex trauma and shit, and the type of personalities that get developed from childhood all the way to adulthood. But again, I do think, and I also see a lot of struggle in just acknowledging the fact that we need help.
Yeah.
I know, maybe for sure more awareness needs to be spread. But for example, we teach subjects, math and physics and languages in schools. Why don't we teach mental health? Why don't we teach children how to deal with this? I mean, let alone teaching parents themselves how to parent, okay? But I mean, if you look at the United States right now, this, that we call Gen Z, people call it very fragile. They don't have this, thick shell around their mentality that could protect them, okay? That needs attention.
I think, like, for the first time, and this is because of technology, is, you know, going back a couple of generations, if you were having a hard time at school, let's say you were being bullied, at 3 o'clock it was over.
Yeah.
Because you were going home to your family and your friends.
Yeah.
But now with social media, bullying is never off the clock.
Right. Right. Yes.
And so, like, there has to be, which, I mean, maybe it's personal responsibility, is maybe exercise the right to block those people who are giving you grief and a hard time on your socials. I mean, because, I mean, I think that's a big part of it. And, I mean, Lord knows, people only show the pieces of themselves that they want to tell the world about on social media.
Right.
We don't share how...
Yes, only share... And this is very depressing. You only share the good moments on your social media. You want to show people, look, I'm having this good life. You know, I'm enjoying this.
And then another person sees that and is like, well, my life kind of sucks, dude.
Yeah. I mean, that's why there was this paper around 3 or 4 years ago. The conclusion was that Instagram is the most depressing app you could ever use.
Yeah.
Because you only see good things over it, and you can't control your mind. You can't get away of comparing it. You know, you just look at it. Oh, look at this. This dude is having some good time. Why can't I do that?
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, dude, we got a good friend here with us. You ready to wrap this up?
Hell yeah.
All right, buddy. So, Farouk, Thank you so much, brother.
Thank you, buddy. Yes.
No, babe, I'm sorry. No man can give you what you deserve. God must be real. He worked miracles on your body. And I'm glad that he did. I'm glad that he did. Take it slow. Don't you know how lucky I am? How lucky I am. No, babe, don't worry. I swear I'll do the best I can.
Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.